far are you going?
About 30 years.
In this week's episode, get ready for a super podcast where we review Super Gals. Well, yeah, Cloud didn't have to sit through Super Gals like we did.
He seems like more of an expert on shoujo than us. Maybe he's already seen it.
I wouldn't consider Super Gals shoujo. I consider it just a bad comedy from the early 2000s.
Well, it's for shoujo, it just means like a cartoon for girls, right? I mean, and I think that's what this is.
Or male adults that shouldn't be well, actually shoujo shows that appeal to those kind of adults too, so
I thought that was like considered maho shoujo or magical girl, you know, you gotta have the extra word or something for it to be like Sailor Moon or Pretty Cure or something.
Well, I can see the appeal. I mean, yeah, I see the appeal of men watching Sailor Moon because there's action in it, whereas
right, that would be preferable to this.
Super Gals is none of that. I mean, I guess
I would take Mew Mew Power even over this.
Well, I mean, I thought in my mind.
Are we recording?
Oh yeah, but okay. I thought in my mind that, like, you know, we're like, okay, let's do the first disc, like, you know, give it the benefit of the doubt, and, you know, see how far we get to the first disc. And even after the first episode, you're like, no, I can't do this anymore. So then I was like, okay, look.
I was like halfway through the first one. I was like, how many more of these are there?
There's five episodes per disc, and we couldn't get past the first one. And I was like, okay, look, we're not gonna make our own litmus test. So let's just see where episode two takes us. And well,
I don't think it got better.
The formula is pretty straightforward. It's high energy, I guess, autism and ADD, and super funny girls spastic action anime. So yeah, that's kind of the review there.
Yeah, I mean, this is from I think 2001.
I've got my information pulled up, actually. Let me give me just a sec.
I think it's either late traditional animation or early cell digital cell animation. I don't know.
Well, let's go ahead and do introductions real quick. So hey, this is the Anime of Yesteryear podcast. I am Dustin. With me is John.
Yes, we both saw this Super Gals.
Yeah, we've dug it out of our storage after a year, because we got this a year ago. And a year ago, I read off the back cover of this, and you're like, we're both kind of like, oh God, when are we ever going to see this? And that day came, calendar marked, star date, September 24th, 2017. I mean, there's 52 episodes, and we have 50 more left to go. We're probably never going to get to it, but
on Amazon, it says this came out in July 5th, 2016, and they're usually sent to us like a month or two before they come out, so we probably got it sometime like May or June of last year.
I feel like it was definitely last summer, because I remember reading the back cover of this thing to you, and we just started laughing. And I'm like, oh, we'll have to review this sometime, ha ha ha, yeah, right, but then we
this
actually did it.
This is probably like the third shipment or something of stuff that we got.
Third or fourth?
Because we got like Cobra and Gundam at first, and then we started getting stuff like this, where it was like, I don't know if we're going to watch all this.
Hey, at least we gave it a shot. So
yes.
Let's put a disclaimer right here. Look, we're not telling you not to buy Super Gals, but what we are going to tell you is what we thought of Super Gals. Doesn't
if
say
you happen to be like our one listener that maybe is like an 11-year-old girl that lives in Japan and is really into 90s fashion, maybe you'll enjoy this.
Okay, wait.
I doubt there is such a listener.
Well, the thing is, like, if we have that one listener from Japan that happens to be an 11-year-old girl, she would have to do a reverse importation on something that's already available in her country. So she would only buy the Super Gals DVD if to only listen to the English dub, which that English dub is some fantastic early ADV English dubbing.
Yeah, maybe that listener does exist, and they're just really listening to our podcast because they like to hear about
I want
old
to know English the
so
good.
They can learn English.
Yes, so they can learn English, and they have to pick up, and Super Gals is their favorite show.
Because they like the slang that's teaching them about English
slang. Like GL and whatever the hell they mentioned else in this show.
There was some something that they kept mentioning over and over. I can't remember the term, but it was like pay date or something like that.
There was the one where it's...
Demu date, maybe, or something.
There was one about, like it's not prostitution, but it's still selling your body, but it's like going on like a date.
Creepy.
Yeah.
Japanese.
Yes. So like Japanese men can like date younger women and it may not even go past first base.
It's kind of like a joke, like near the end. I don't know. It's like that was kind of like the main theme of the episodes. It was that topic and I found it weird. Because they're like, how old are these characters even?
Well, no, they state their names in the title cards in the first episode, where it's like Ran Kotobuki, excuse me, that she's 16 and her other friends that she meets is also 16. And I've got the Wikipedia page pulled up.
Why are they always teenagers? Like, do you ever see an anime where the characters are not teenagers?
It's
crazy.
Gundam? Well, certain Gundams. Gundam's
most
usually...
of the Gundams even are just random teenagers that, like, they're not military soldiers already. They just happen to be a teenager and they're like, hey, it's a robot. I'm going to pilot it.
Well, now hold on. I rewatched 83 when I went to, rip it from VHS to my computer and put it up for that, that site, for all of my TV rips. And I think Ko Uraki is like 19 or something. But
he's still got a teen in it.
I know he's got teen in it, but like he can buy cigarettes.
But he's an adult.
Yeah, he's an adult. So like I'm not really counting that.
That's like the one show that kind of really did fit on Adult Swim for Gundam, you know, because it does have an older protagonist.
Yeah, it's got adults on it dealing with adult stuff. And I will say this, like after it's been like maybe 10 years since the last time I saw it. So like I watched my TV rips of it. And I will go to bat for 83. Except for that last episode.
I want to download your, well, I shouldn't mention it, but...
You want to acquire digitally my TV rips.
Right, I want to re-experience 2002 Gundam 83 on Adult Swim.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
But my hard drive is full of Hamtaro because you linked to that torrent and it's so big.
I didn't tell you to download Hamtaro!
I only watched 4 episodes so far, so there's like 104 episodes or something on there. It's like,
sweet,
wow, that's
Jesus. Like I
don't even
look,
know how much I saw when it was first on. I did watch it when it was on Toonami, because it was kind of cool that Toonami got the third hour back. But then you see the third hour and it's like, what is this show doing on at Toonami?
Yeah, I know the theme song is catchy.
Not so much for Super Gals.
I know the theme song for Hamtaro is catchy. I remember there was a guy, like, there was somebody riding with someone leaving school in high school, mind you, one day. And the guy has like, okay, this guy has like, he hooked up a pretty nice sound system for what you can get for like being 17 in your own car. And one of the nerds that drove with him, his name is Matt, started blaring Hamtaro theme song like through his speakers as they were driving away. And he had
something Daft would do.
He had the biggest grin on his face of how proud he was. And yeah, that's the only time I've ever seen that theme, heard that theme song in public. The last time.
Yeah. I felt like I was too old to be watching Hamtaro, and I was like 9. But it's interesting that there were high schoolers that were watching
it. Well, I mean, a majority of the viewership for Hamtaro was putting it on Toonami, so you're getting like, you know, ages 8 to like 25 or so.
Right. I mean, it starts off and Tom is just like, huh? What do we have here? I guess they're cute. And I went in thinking, okay, well, I'll keep that in mind. Maybe they'll be cute. And they were cute. And I want to watch a lot of episodes.
But there was more.
Didn't really fit on Toonami.
There was more substance in Hamtaro than in Supergals.
I mean, I would rather be watching Hamtaro, yeah.
I know you would. I there might be so much a Hamtaro I could take, but I think Hamtaro would be slightly more enjoyable than Supergals. At least from our perspective, but.
Yeah, well, Supergals has the benefit of there's only 26 episodes dubbed of it. So that's like one quarter as many episodes as Hamtaro. So I guess it would take like 7 hours or something to get through all this, but I don't think I could sit through more than those 2 episodes.
If you had to torture someone and make them talk, I would pop in Supergals and see how far they get.
They play Sesame Street at Guantanamo.
Yes.
Like on loop. You know, if Trump is expanding it, you know, maybe he's going to invest in some Supergals or something and put that on.
I can't imagine the call to write stuff. Like, I need your worst anime for Guantanamo Bay interrogations. I need the worst. You know the worst anime you guys have. I've seen it. My son watches it. I need your most horrible anime so we can use it to combat terrorism and interrogations to stop these bad hombres. And I could just imagine the president of Right Stuff like, oh dear God.
The president of Right Stuff is like, wow, the Russian dossier really was correct that Trump watches anime.
Oh, I think, okay, hang on. I think it was probably like when Sean Spicer was in the White House. Like, I'm sure Trump looked over his shoulder and was like, what is this? And then Sean Spicer was like, oh, it's anime. I'm into this thing called Gundam. And Trump's just like, I see. I'm gonna note that down for interrogation, but I just won't tell you, Spicer. By the way, you're fired.
Did you see that he said that on Twitter today? Like, that was the first time he said that in a while.
Oh. Let's save that for closing remarks.
Okay, yeah, there's plenty of stuff to say about him.
Yeah, I was gonna bring up an NFL game that's going on right now. The Texans and the Patriots are playing, but I was gonna put that to what Trump was talking about, but we can talk about that later.
Yeah, that'll
go Texans,
I guess. But what more do we have to say about Supergirls? It seems like we're trying to talk about everything other than it.
Okay, well, that's not a good sign. Okay, so Supergirls is about this girl named Ran Kotobuki. She's like top fashion chick for being 16 in Shibuya. It basically, her livelihood is fashion, being with her friends, beating people up, running around frantically.
She has like sleeping. The sort of gang leader outfit from time to time, but she's like a policeman's daughter.
Well, she's also a hard sleeping student trying to nap her way through class in order to get her sleep, and then the teacher berating her for it.
That's like so cliche shoujo, you know, like that. Yeah. I've seen that kind of stuff in so many anime where it's like, oh, they're falling asleep in class. Ha ha. Can't you relate, kids? Or whatever. It's just dumb.
Yeah. So her parents are, and her brother are in the police force, and they have like many, many generations of being in the police force. But Rand, she's like, I'm my own girl. I'm my own person. I don't want to be a cop. So I don't know how many of these police hijinks to try to convince her to be a police officer. Because the way she, like, takes justice in her own hands as a vigilante for fashion, she might as well just be a cop.
Yeah, I don't understand this. Like, they're trying to persuade her to be a cop in episode two, and it's like, wait a sec, everything she's doing already is, like, cop behavior, so yeah. Why is she rebelling against this, you know?
Well, I find it funny that her parents are trying to find creative ways to, for her to become a police officer, including treating her like she's a five-year-old and awarding her with a sticker system with her dad's face on a sticker. So when she busts 10 perps, she gets her allowance raised to like 500 yen, which is the equivalent of under $5 if we're talking conversion rate from USD to yen.
Yeah, there's and there was so much police inflation in Japan, right? That isn't even worth very much.
So you make more money being a desk jock behind the counter or in the police station or sitting in a patrol car than physically getting out of your car to bust someone when you can just radio in. It is the worst gimmick I've ever... That's a terrible dad. Like, I don't know how bad, like... Apparently the crime isn't too bad where, like, he doesn't have to worry about her getting a knife pulled on her. But then again, this is
encouraging, like, this teenage girl to just go out there and throw herself into these situations and solve crimes without any training or like armor or weaponry or anything. She's just gonna get herself killed, you know.
She gets her training from reading Judge Dredd books or RoboCop. Honey,
that would be a better show. Too bad they pulled it from Kids Click and replaced it with Winx Club.
Is that what they did?
Yes.
Man. RIP Robot Alpha Commando. And yeah. I didn't realize they never went past episode 16 because I never even looked at those.
The last 3 or 4 weeks. Jeez. It was just the same episodes for reruns.
Well, I mean, there was that one guy on that site that had his rips from Kids Click and he literally put like, yeah, this is all they aired. And I'm like, wow, that's all I've seen. What we've both seen.
Right.
And I was like, well, I might as well just delete everything on my hard drive now, so.
Yeah, yeah. And I was watching the thread of the Power Rangers board that Josh goes to.
Yeah.
Where they were talking about it, and that guy would post every time there was a new episode. And he hadn't posted that for like the last like month where it was on or something.
Yeah.
And it was like, wow, they really only aired 13 or 14 episodes of RoboCop Alpha Commando when there were 40 episodes that they could have aired. Like, was this just some like miscommunication where one person thought they said, I want to buy 40 episodes, and then they give them 14 or something? What? Like, I wouldn't be surprised if they
were that confident. How do you mess that up? Yeah, that is like, bad communication. But the thing is, like, no executive working for Sinclair was like, just Googled how many episodes RoboCop Alpha Commando might contain. So what they get, they're like, oh, I guess this is all that's there. We'll just have to go with that. Doesn't make any sense. But hey, I'm not paid to actually research this any further. Like, my God, TV is terrible.
Yeah, well, this channel sure is. I mean,
well, that block was, yeah.
I mean, I never watched this TV because I've never had any ability to do so through DirecTV. They just don't offer it. And I don't know how many people even get this channel, but the ratings must be just terrible, you know? Like, mm-hmm. I mean, what kind of channel does that? Buys a show and then only airs a third of the episodes over and over and over and over. and they aired episode one, I think it was like 15 times or something.
I that sounds accurate, yeah. After like the fifth or sixth time, it's like, all right, well, this there's no redeeming factor in this block.
And the thing is, it's like, it's on once a day, you know, so
yeah.
It's not like Teen Titans Go where, yeah, they'll air the same episode 15 times. But, you know, that's on all day, every day. Like, this show, they could have had a new episode every day, and it would have been enough for 8 weeks of episodes. And, and that's more than enough for syndication, I think. Or they could have just aired the episodes twice if they had to, instead of airing the same one 15 times.
Makes you want to work for the TV industry, doesn't it?
No.
Not for this TV.
It would be even worse than working for Toon Radio.
Well, the only difference is that Toon Radio doesn't exist anymore, whereas this TV does in Sinclair, so they make money somehow.
Yeah, well, to brief our listeners on the status of Toon Radio, Mason was he was without internet for a couple of months, and I don't think Toon Radio is going to come back anytime soon, but the HTTPS toonradio.com works. You can't get through it through normal HTTP. I don't know why, but but Mason is just going to keep that up as a blog, as a way to try to sell his writing abilities or something.
Yeah,
because he has like a couple of reviews of like superhero shows on there or something. But I don't think that's going to generate him much income.
Well, no, he'll have to generate income by keeping his GoFundMe still up or going to Patreon, where only one person is going to actually give him money.
And that is BQ.
Yes. I with every comment being like, this is a support from the Cool Kids Club, not Anime of Yesteryear. Yeah, you're really trying to make me feel bad. Okay. We'll get to that later.
That was like 5 years ago, and he's still angry.
We'll get to that later. Okay, I'm just trying to think. All right, the plot for the first two episodes of Supergirls include Ran trying to stop a girl from prostitution, but not prostitution. And they never explicitly said, like, what she did or whatever. And the girl's just like, oh, you know, I'll keep my heart but sell my body or whatever. And I'm like, she's just going on a date unless, like the guy is like, oh, maybe I can get to, like, second or third base or something. But, like, it's never really said. Like, I think it's just, like, is selling your body just going out on dates and getting paid for it? Like, guys...
I don't understand this anime.
I don't get it either.
Is this actually, like, what was going on in the early 2000s with Japanese teenagers? They were all paying each other to go on dates or something, and then this show is, like, there to condemn it or something? It's some PSA? Like, what was the purpose of this show?
I don't know. The only thing I could say about this show was it gives a cultural background on Shibuya culture. And I know I talked about this like a year ago whenever I talked about this DVD briefly. It might have been on like a Magic Users Club episode or something. But it makes fun of, or points out a lot of fashion that was going on at the time the show came out, or should I say, the manga came out first, and then the show came out. Because the manga ran for 4 years, from 98 to 2002. And then the show came out in 2001. So, I'm just kind of clicking on some stuff here on the Wikipedia page, but they mention it's a kogal, which is the Japanese fashion culture that involves schoolgirls wearing outfits based on the uniform, which is what... It's like the mini skirt schoolgirl thing with the big tube socks or whatever. And, like, they pointed out in the show, but it wasn't really, like, you know, that big or whatever. the thing is that I understood from this is they have the Ganguro fashion. And Ganguro fashion is our main girl, Ran, who she's a super gal, is making fun of those girls with the tan skin. And that's the girls.
They were in there, Tom.
Yeah, the girls with the tan skin is through Ganguro fashion. That was like a peak in the 90s, and then by the 2000s, right at the start of the 2000s, it became almost obsolete. So like it wasn't. So by the time this came out, or probably when the time this was, the manga came out, or when the show was coming out, like Ganguro fashion was like completely done. It ran its course, and any girl who does Ganguro shouldn't be exist in this, in our society or even in our country, and they just need it. So that's, it's kind of this pun of like anyone that dresses like Ganguro is like a complete airhead than our main girl and are terrible people or something.
They weren't portrayed all that well, I guess, but I didn't feel like anyone was in this.
Yeah, well, this is, I think it's just like making fun of the fashion where it's like, if it's outdated, it's not cool, therefore you're a terrible person trying to do it. And I'm looking on Wikipedia. There's one image of a girl that they listed as a Yamanba, which is like some sort of version of Ganguro. And that's like a photo from 2016. So some girls are still doing Ganguro, but maybe it's just like one of those. Do what?
Didn't you hear the lawnmower?
No.
Okay, good. Because I was going by out the window, and I went to make sure I wasn't getting in the.
Is your dad on the lawnmower or something?
Yeah, he's got a riding lawnmower out there.
Oh, nice.
Okay, so what was the name of the character? Yamanba or something like that?
Well, no, Yamanba is a fashion within Ganguro. It's like you got dubstep, and then you got like the different versions of dubstep. So that's like within Ganguro, there's different other factions of how to do Ganguro. And then that's saying how Ganguro is part of the Para Para dance, which was like a you basically take like,
oh,
yeah, it's Eurobeat, but it's like more popish and more Asian kind of, and it's like you add rave music with it or whatever.
Is that what the Para Para brothers from Dragon Ball GT are based on?
Probably, yes. I mean,
they have this beatbox and they start doing this weird dance in the lost episodes.
Okay, that would be Para Para. I know Para Para was like, they had music in, people that would know about it in the West are the ones that played Dance Dance Revolution, because it had Para Para songs from the 90s, along with Eurobeat and Dance Dance Revolution games. So, like, if you're really big into Dance Dance Revolution, you know, you heard or knew of those two styles of music, which they're actually, they're all based on Eurobeat anyways. And now, yeah, Wikipedia has so much on, like, origin of Para Para, so like you've got, so by the time this anime came out, it was within the third boom of Para Para. It's going back to our jazz discussion back in our Gundam Thunderbolt review. There's just so much here that you can just sit there and read and kill your afternoon. Man, I remember reading about this months ago.
The thing is though, this show doesn't really I mean, I feel like it doesn't really go into music or anything all that
well,
much.
I mean, we only gave it two episodes. I think if we gave it up to episode 15, they might have been talking about music, but...
It seems like they mainly talked about, like, makeup and...
yeah.
And, like, how you shouldn't date for money.
Yeah, based
those
on those...
the main things.
Yeah, based on those first two episodes. I'm just trying to look at this other stuff.
Yeah, I guess they do have to cover some other topics. Maybe that was just... Well, I don't know if this is considered like a story arc or something, and then they'll start to change.
I mean,
topic.
If it's adapting it from the manga, which I'm guessing it is, it's probably like the first part of it, or it's just this introduction of like the basics of Shibuya culture, and then it's just getting to all the little fine details of Shibuya culture.
I read the one review of it that's on my anime list for the manga.
Oh boy!
And there was a person that said that they read the first three volumes three times, but they hated volumes 4 through 10. Because of who Ren Kotobuki ends up with or something. So apparently it has some divisive romance plot that people got angry about or something. I don't know if the anime is actually all that close to the manga, or if it's one of those anime that just takes like the basic premise and comes up with its own concepts for it.
Probably so. I mean, but then again, like you've got, I mean, we just saw the beginning of the show. We already have like two main like sort of side characters that are like, I guess, like the high school pretty boys of Shibuya, like in fashion magazines or something. And so, like, maybe I'm sure the anime might tackle that like later on, because you've got like, well, like the blonde headed guy who's she like Ran calls number two, and
yes.
Then the other main guy, which I don't even know his name.
Number two, I think, is called Yuya, is his real name, and he's voiced by Greg Ayers, who is Frost on Dragon Ball Super.
Yeah, okay. No, number one is Rei Otohata. So that's the guy that Ran is, like, Rei is just kind of like, no, that girl Ran is trouble or whatever. But I'm pretty sure this might be, like, probably, like, you know, the relationship in the manga is between these two, especially if you got it set up so early like this. And then, I don't know, we're kind of all over the place. But the first episode is about, like, don't date for money because that's bad. And second episode is, identity theft. And, also,
I didn't understand this episode at all.
Yeah.
There was some other person who was pretending to be her.
Yeah.
And it was like being used by a criminal or something. And
so the case of libel was the plot device in episode two. And even Ranch is like, I didn't give him my name without my permission. Well, that's your understanding what libel is. But then it's also the fact of like, it's not only that, but it's also don't date a guy because, you know, you need a boyfriend or whatever. Because the girl that was doing all the thieving, because it was a couple, and the guy is obviously the controlling one, and he's the jerk, and she's the victim of this. Where, like, and she wanted to keep a boyfriend just to have a boyfriend, which girl, that's just something girls do. I can understand, but it's also not healthy and it's very bad. But it's the fact that those two have like a Bonnie and Clyde thing where they go and they took Rand's name in order to set up these solicitation dates. So then they, in order to mug people for money, and, or, you know, the guy does the mugging, of course, and the girl's the bait. So then, in this one, they have the whole group come together to try to trap this guy. And, of course, Rand knocks out the bad guy out in the face, and she gives this whole speech and doesn't realize that she knocked him out at one punch.
Yeah. She's always lecturing people about their misconduct.
It's punch.
Not even paying attention if they're awake or not.
Yeah, it's punch. She has a punch first, lecture next attitude or theology about her.
Yeah. Theology. She's worships the god of violence, I guess.
Well, her theology.
The god of lecturing.
Well, she has her own core morals on being a super gal, and like the number one thing as a super gal is blah 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 or whatever, and and she's like, you gotta follow it. It's the right. It's the code. That's it. The Shibuya like super gal's code or whatever. And she's always like quoting it, and then you got the Gangaro girls that are basically like having like, oh, they said this this slang term, let's have a quick caption for 3 seconds and the definition with subtitles. So they were kind of, yeah, so the Gangaro girls are the comedy
every 5 seconds. Every 5 seconds you see this, like they've got a blackboard and it's like, this means this. And it's like some nonsense slang that ADB probably made up. And then, and then there's also, it often just says super gals on the screen. Like there's an eye catch every other minute or something instead of just one in the middle of the episode.
And now, I don't know how true that is of the slang that the ADV just made up. But I wouldn't put it past them to make up some stuff, because if you've ever heard some of the dub lining that they approved and put on their DVDs for, like, man, for some of the stuff that they like have said or the characters have said, like it's like, did anybody check this before they actually just wrote this in how it is?
Or yeah, I mean, ADB, they don't usually stick all that close to the original script. You know, they kind of just do whatever they feel like.
Yeah.
So you have stuff like Ghost Stories and Super Milk Chan where the dub is just completely different from the Japanese version.
Oh, yeah,
and,
yeah.
And I don't
think
this is that extreme, but it's like, I wouldn't put it past them to just spice it up with a bunch of, like, they're just trying to, like, troll people into seeing, like, if we put a really stupid slang term in here, do you think we can get weeaboos to say it? You know, like, will we make this a viral meme or something if we come up with some silly, like, combination of words?
Well, what was it? It was, ah, crap. Well, I like how the insults from Rand is always calling somebody like a bitch or whatever. And she's got to be like gangsta too. Like their idea of a super gal is like taking like a black girl and a white girl's body, or an Asian white girl's body. No, you did. I'm pretty sure if she gets a boyfriend in this show, it's gonna be don't you hustle my man.
She does have that obnoxious, overbearing kind of attitude.
Yeah, she says these things as she's chasing someone down or punching them in the face.
Yeah. That's probably the main reason why this show is so insufferable, is just she's so irritating. She's always screaming and punching and, like, going after somebody over paying for dating or whatever. Leave me alone. I don't know you. And she's like, oh, we got to school together. I have to be in your business.
Yeah. Like, she's kind of she's like the pre-SJW of Japan. Well, first of all, she comes from a family of police, so she has to feel like she has to police people and be in their business and like want to change people to do like the right thing or whatever to her understanding of morals. But this is coming from a girl that's it's contradiction, because this is coming from someone that was going to steal a bag and did from that guy. from Ray, and then Ray was just like, I like your attitude, you can just have the bag back. Like, I guess he just makes so much money being a pretty boy and being on magazines, like, he just doesn't care.
Yeah.
It's not a show for us, but at least we tried.
That's true. It's a slice of history.
I'd say anything, like, probably the enjoyment of this is just listening to the ADV dub.
Right.
It's that time capsule. Yeah, that's the biggest advantage I can give Super Gals is the dub. A timeless classic of what a former company used to dub their anime as. But, I mean, they're not, I mean, ADV isn't the only company to, like, you know, kind of go on the spot with dubs. I mean, like, I'm thinking, like, those early Urusei Yatsura dubs from Anime Ego, they kind of did their own thing, too. Because, yeah, like, they were the only ones, they were, like, the first ones to kind of do it. So, like, you know, who's going to, you know, we don't have to be accurate. This is our property. We're going to do whatever we want to it with it.
Yeah. I mean, this show, probably there are some purists of, like, the Japanese version that insist that the dub
why,
is terrible or
that's
something.
Why, that is why there's two languages on these DVDs, English and Japanese with subtitles, so then the purists can have their Japanese and, I guess, pretty accurate subtitles. I didn't bother with the subtitles.
No, I didn't put them on.
Yeah, we ain't no weebs here. We ain't that weeb.
The second half of it is apparently only available with subtitles on there.
Oh, that's understandable.
I didn't actually check the later DVDs, but, like, that's what Wikipedia says anyway.
Yeah. I'm guessing ADV didn't have enough to fund the rest second half of it, or maybe it just sold so badly they only got the first 26 and just like, well, we'll see how this goes, and oh my god, this is not going as well. We'll just do the first 26, and that's it.
Yeah, this is sort of like a bubble anime where they're putting out, like, everything that they could get their hands on. And
yeah.
And half of it had to get canceled because it wasn't selling well.
Yeah, and of course ADV's money was all Evangelion money.
Right.
That's, I mean, like, Funimation, they, like, you know, like, a good chunk of the stuff that funds Funimation is Dragon Ball Z.
Uh-huh.
And at that anime bubble, like, you know, a good portion of that money funded ADV, or what funded ADV was Evangelion.
Yeah, that was their big title.
Yeah, and they were able to find ways to keep making reprints of Evangelion on DVD, like what it seemed like every single year at one point.
And then it just disappeared at some point. I don't know, like 2009 or something, and then they just didn't do any more.
The Platinum Collection, I think it was like 04 or 06, I think, is what the last time they printed something for Evangelion. And that's what we currently have if you can ever find it.
And that's what I have. But I got it as late as, I think, 2008 or something.
But yeah,
it was
even
still on sale at Right Stuff for $20 or something.
Yeah, in 2008 it wasn't really worth that much. But once all the financial stuff happened to ADV where they had to split up and be in those little like LLC companies, and everyone knew, like, there's no way they're going to relicense Evangelion. That's when those Platinum Editions shot up in price. Like, I got the 10-box one. I mean, I paid $40 for it on eBay, and within 2 years, it went from $40 to $200.
Yeah,
it's
insane.
It's crazy, and I'm glad I got the 10-box.
Yeah. And it sure would be nice to have a copy of End of Evangelion. I never got that before when I printed.
Yeah, I want to buy in my copy from VQ.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, I've got two copies of End of Evangelion, one from Blockbuster that was like $2 or $3, and then another one that was that I got from VQ, but it was a collection for Death and Rebirth. So, I mean, essentially, like, I have every bit of Evangelion that's come out in America.
Yeah, I still need to get 3, actually.
I kind of wonder, like, just how much it is to get that Blu-ray set. And, you know, I mean, either Right Stuff or Funimation are the ones that are going to bite on it. But everyone's kind of looking at Right Stuff. Not Right Stuff, but Funimation to get
It's a really weird thing for a major show like that to be unlicensed for almost 10 years.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know if Gainax is just asking too much for it or whoever's... I, you know, it's still their property, so they still have rights. So I don't know what's going on.
It's probably like Gundam, you know? There was a while where Gundam was just not here at all. And
yeah.
The early 2010s, kind of. And it was just, there was no manga coming out, there was no anime coming out, and then we got Origin, and then we got Iron-Blooded Orphans and Unicorn on Toonami.
Yeah.
So and now it's kind of coming back, but, you know, for a while there, it was kind of just dead, and it's like Ava it was almost like that, but then Funimation got the movies, but why couldn't they get the old movies, you know?
Or
the old show.
I mean, unless manga still had the license to them or the rights to them somehow, but they haven't done anything with it. So, I mean, manga entertainment is just, there's nothing there anymore.
Do they even exist in the United States anymore?
I have no idea. I don't think so. I mean,
it's like they're active in the UK, I think, and like Australia, but I don't think they do anything here with their stuff.
No. I mean, Redline was the last release that I'm aware of that they put out here. But
yeah, I mean, they were active through, I guess, 2011 with licensing stuff to Sci-Fi Channel. And then they kind of dropped off.
I don't know. There's no telling. I think that's all I wanted to say on Super Gals. I think that's covering two episodes. I mean, we've been recording for 40 minutes so far, so that's about the length of two episodes.
I'd say probably like 4 minutes of talking about the show, and
the rest is like anime politics. Let's hear about this and Japanese fashion from the 90s and 2000s and good old stuff. Yeah, I didn't think we're going to be talking about stretching out two episodes of Super Gals any further than this.
Yeah, I guess we try to kind of aim for the runtime of what we're discussing. So
yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, I mean, there's no point in taking notes on it, because, I mean, like, you can, two episodes is hardly nothing.
You don't need notes on, like, all this made-up slang that ADD came up with. If it's real slang, you don't need it.
Like,
when are you going to say that?
I think it's them trying their best to interpret what the from the show, and, like, who in here knows Valley speak very well? Who in here is from the hood? Let's combine those two together. Oh. But yeah, that's Super Gals. It's super. Go buy it. Write stuff. Please don't discourage us from not sending more stuff to us. I know it took a year to at least talk about the first two episodes. And now it's like I'm stuck with this DVD set and I don't know what to do with it.
Yeah, I'm not sure like if I feel like I should get rid of it or
what?
Try to give it a chance since it's free. Like, don't look a gift horse in the mouth, right?
Yeah. Well, I consider that maybe I can use it as a tax write-off to send it to our 11-year-old listener in Japan that wants to hear the dub.
Yeah,
if you are
comment, even if it's in Japanese, and we'll try to interpret it using this as a translation guide.
Yeah, it gives me a reason to get rid of our podcast bins that I still have a ton of. Hey, you want some other stuff from America? Just let me know. I can go to Walmart and buy it. I mean, I don't care. You want a Confederate flag to go with that Super Gals? I can hunt one down to the local gas station because I'm in the South.
No, Viku is going to pretend to be one and ask for one, and then he's going to accuse you of a hate crime.
All right. No, you don't have to have a Confederate flag, but I'm not gonna pass judgment for having a piece of American culture in your Japanese apartment. So. I'm just throwing that out there, but you don't have to have it, so. But I do know where to get some. I could always send ammunition in the mail. I think that's a good idea.
That definitely won't get blocked.
Yeah. The FFA isn't gonna. The FBI isn't gonna, or U.S. Customs isn't gonna come to my house and ask questions about that. Anyways,
you're gonna be on the no-fly list by the end of the call.
Man, I need to shut up. I was going to tell you to shut up, but then I realized, man, no, this is me talking. I need to shut
up. You're digging your own hole here.
I've gotten good at digging holes and putting my foot in my mouth. And I even had a season in my I had to season up my mouth and put some seasoning on my on my mouth or my foot to make it taste better the more I keep doing it. I'm used to this, John, okay? all right. 43 minutes. All right, let's go into closing remarks.
Okay, so at the moment it looks like Chris Chan is preparing for a date with the fake fiancé on October 6th. I don't know if he's considering her a fiancé yet or not, but that's the latest update from Chris. I don't know why he had to publicly announce this several weeks in advance, like, but they did do that.
Well, so wait, is he engaged to this person?
Well, I guess not. It looks like they're just still dating, but
yeah,
you know, they tend to make up stuff like that pretty quickly when Chris is doing one of these things. Like, I think they said that about the previous one, and then it was just nothing. So that's what I expect this is. It's just another, some troll trying to get information out of him or something.
Yeah.
They'll probably film the whole thing and send it to the website and it, and break the whole thing off over it or something.
Yeah. And I gotta wonder if there is an engagement, like who's, I'm pretty sure that Jessica Quinn would probably be the one forcing it on Chris.
Right.
She'd probably be the one that would actually propose to Chris.
I mean, they must be pretty aggressive based on how they come off through their comments and previous Chris posts.
Yeah.
I mean, they're the one who announced the date to the internet. And then they started demanding privacy. Like, are we supposed to believe that they really want to be private about it when the announcement is going to happen?
You go online with your business and then demand privacy. The hypocrisy of that. It's fantastic. But no, that's not the biggest news. The biggest news about Chris is him being on the local newspaper, to be exact. And I gotta love this image.
It's like on, I think this is like the front page. Like, they did some gay pride event and he's standing in the background.
Yeah, it's such a creeper smile, but I can't, the ridiculous thing is the person in front with the orange dress and the poofy hair, who's obviously, I would have to assume, is a drag queen or whatever, and he's in this person's in this awesome, like this, like power pose or whatever, and it's just amazing to just look at it, and then you got Chris's look right behind it. It just goes together so well.
Yeah, and Chris has this bizarre expression on his face.
Yeah, that's what makes it great. And then my only comment was, what a hell of a picture. And then you respond with, what a picture of hell.
That's what it's a picture of.
You could not have said that any better.
Yeah, there's this person in front of him that's making these bizarre poses too, and it's like, I don't know who is overshadowing who in this picture. You know, Chris, like Josh said, I didn't realize that was Chris at first. I thought it was just some random ham bone.
Yeah.
He doesn't really look that out of place there. Like, he would have if you had seen him compared with just the people he was around, you know, 15 years ago or something.
Yeah.
You would have thought he'd look kind of normal or maybe a little dorky. But now he's like, now he's a total bizarre individual. But so is everybody else.
Yeah, at least in this event.
Yeah.
The
people he surrounds himself with now, you know, like, mm-hmm. that's apparently his crowd that he's,
proud to have.
Uh-huh.
So what were you going to talk about?
And I think they even filmed him at one of the gay pride events a few months back. Yeah, so I was going to bring up the Trump versus NFL thing if you want to talk about that. Because right now he's on there tweeting about it. And he's tweeting stuff that people are saying to boycott the NFL. And just now he said, courageous patriots have fought and died for our great American flag. We must honor and respect it. Make America great again. So he's tearing into the Pittsburgh Penguins and, well, not the Pittsburgh Penguins, but just the NFL in general.
Because
they made a statement kind of denouncing what he said in Alabama, and now there's all this stuff about, are their ratings down because of the kneeling, and people aren't sure whether that's true or not because Trump keeps saying that. But I mean, do you think that that's the reason they're down, or did you think they weren't even down to begin with? Or?
Honestly, I didn't think they were down. Like, I mean,
that's what I've been hearing in the Adult Swim chat room. There's been a lot of discussion about the ratings, and then VQ brought it up, and Daft just brought it up. So
yeah,
they're supposedly they're down like 10% this year, or something like that. I mean, I've heard different statistics, but it's kind of in that range of plus or minus 5 points from that, and so. You know, there's all the controversy about Kaepernick not standing and everything. And
yeah.
Some people are angry about that and boycotting it, but who knows how many that is and how much it's just cable TV in general, and network TV in general are dying because of the internet. I mean, tonight we've got the new Star Trek episodes coming on, and, it's only going to be on one episode on TV, and then the rest all goes to some CBS on demand, subscription that you have to pay for. And so they're trying to transition everybody over towards that. And I don't know how successful it is, how many people are actually going to do that. I mean, DC's got one that they're developing. Disney's got one. And so everything is fragmenting. It's not just Netflix anymore. It's not just Netflix and Amazon Prime. You know, there's going to be like 20 major streaming services all from different companies. And so I think football maybe will just move to some sort of subscription basis instead of through ESPN or something at some point in the future. But that's probably still years off, because even though it's down 10%, I think it was at a huge number to begin with. And there's still millions of people who watch it the current way. So I think it's probably going to be more resilient than a lot of channels, which will probably go under soon. I don't really think, I mean, even if Trump launches like a big campaign against it, I don't think that people are just going to stop watching football because it's too enshrined as an institution, especially among red state voters who support Trump. Like, that's where the people are the most into football.
Yeah.
So I don't know that it's smart to pick a fight with the NFL, or maybe he thinks he's just picking a fight with the players that the people in those states don't like and trying to get them replaced by Trump supporting players or something. I don't know what he's trying to do. It's really bizarre. Fight for him to even bring up. I mean, it was just kind of out of nowhere, and people are saying, like, is he intimidating the NFL into trying to change the practices of a private business or something? But I think he's just saying how he feels. I don't think there's any threat of legal violence against these players. I think people who interpret it that way are kind of overreacting, because he's not going to do anything. He hasn't really said he's going to do anything. He just says he thinks it's inappropriate what they're doing and that people should boycott over it. But yeah. I don't think that people really will boycott.
I mean, his Twitter is basically his opinion, or what it's kind of like. His Twitter is, AKA what's on my mind right now. And I mean, he can't enforce anything on the players, because that would be breaching First Amendment rights. And if the NFL has backed up like to back up how the players want to, you know, honor or not honor the national anthem, that's their freedom of speech in action. So, and you can't, and like, you know, the First Amendment, you know, Congress isn't going to make a law to infringe on, you know, right to protest the government or your freedom of speech. So, you know, if the NFL isn't condemning them for that, then like, it is within the First Amendment rights. So then you see where the NFL does honor the First Amendment. So it doesn't matter what Trump says or what he believes. Because if he actually knew the First Amendment on what that meant, then like, he probably wouldn't have said that. But then again, this is Trump, so he's using his First Amendment rights as well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sympathetic to people that say that Trump doesn't respect the First Amendment enough, because he's always trashing the press, and because he's always, suing the New York Times if they say something too negative about him and that sort of thing. And, you know, you kind of shouldn't do that kind of thing when you're the president. But at the same time, 99% of the stuff he says that is interpreted as anti-First Amendment, there's no legal force behind it. It's just him saying stuff. Like, his tweets are not actually force of law, really. And some people claim that his Twitter is, like, breaking all these laws. They'll say stuff like, his Twitter is illegal because he's posting about intelligence matters on there or whatever. If he posts about ISIS or something, it's like, that's not illegal for the president to tweet about ISIS. Come on, that's stupid. You know, so people often get on him about his tweets in ways that are kind of crazy. Like, he can't really be impeached for his tweets or something. Like, there's no constitutional amendment saying the president can't tweet.
Unless they put it into an amendment.
Force of law, you know, it's just a, you know, it's just not even covered, so there's no law that he's breaking with that.
Yeah.
But people are trying to find ways to act like everything he does on Twitter is monumentally important when it's just him running his mouth off, and they're making it bigger than it is by making this the number one story. You know, like, if he just made a joke about it or something, like in Alabama during a rally, and then it became a big thing where everybody had to weigh in, and like the NFL had to issue a comments, and everybody had to denounce white supremacism again and stuff. And so that happens all the time over just like two or three sentences that he said that were not important, that didn't really affect anything.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think it's kind of crazy just the way that the overreaction to something like this and how it just spirals out of control when it was just, you know, he was in Alabama, so he thought he'd bring up football or something because he knows that people in the South like football. You know, like, that was all this really was. And then now it's like a national controversy or something where the NFL has to weigh in, and people are debating whether or not to boycott it. And he's got all his people online trying to organize a boycott, and it's just so stupid. The whole thing, I think.
It's a fun kind of stupidity.
I guess so.
These freaking hiccups. Yeah, I mean, it's his opinion, so it's just, but I mean, you figure like, it's coming from a leader, so then it must have some sort of authority behind it, but really, it's because of the way our government is set up, like, it's just, again, it's just him sharing his opinion that nothing is in law or whatever.
And you look through his Twitter feed today, and every other tweet is him tweeting insults at the Rocket Man, and every other tweet is him tweeting insults at the NFL, and it's kind of just like looking at the news 4 years ago, and it was every other story was him attacking Rosie O'Donnell or Obama or something.
Yeah.
Except for now he's president, but none of it really matters in either case because mm-hmm. he's like him and Kim. How many 8 months now have they been just insulting each other nonstop, and nothing really happens? You know, I think that nothing is really going to happen. I don't think they're actually going to nuke each other, but each time they do, it's uncomfortable that it's happening, but at the same time, it's also kind of like, this has been the state of affairs between the U.S. and North Korea for 70 years or something, that since World War II, that there's been sort of a Cold War conflict there, and
yeah.
Formally the Korean War never ended. So, you know, it's probably not going to end now just because Trump's flying planes over or sailing boats by or something. Well, I think that they're not going to, I don't think they're going to actually nuke Guam or Hawaii or anything.
I mean, the only way to really end it is just try to do, like, kind of what we tried to do with Cuba back in the 60s was bring the CIA in and overthrow the government that way and arm rebels. But that'd be something that would take years to happen in North Korea, I think.
I mean, I think it's hard to get them in there because they have, like, a different language just from South Korea because of 70 years of being apart, and so they mm-hmm. sound different and everything. And you would have to somehow infiltrate in there, but it's such a closed society where they don't really allow people to migrate in or anything.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, it's like a prison society where they know everything about everyone, and it's such a communist dictatorship that it would be really hard to try to do anything about that, because I'm sure the CIA has been trying for 70 years to get rid of them, but they just somehow can't. And you know, you hear about Fidel Castro, and it's like there's a lot of almosts where they almost killed him.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think there's any cases of any almosts with the Kims. Like, they never even got close to killing them or anything.
I also want to bring up how Toys R Us filed Chapter 11, which that's never a good sign for a company. It seems that most companies, at least when it comes to retail, if they file a Chapter 11, it's only just a matter of time when they're going to actually go bankrupt. And my, they file for bankruptcy.
Josh was claiming that,
like,
they're not going to close any stores and it's just restructuring or something.
But restructuring requires some stores to be closed, and that's what they're going
to do. I feel like we wouldn't be getting a headline like this if they were not about to close some stores and make some changes. Maybe they eventually close down entirely because they are kind of a dinosaur.
Yeah, I mean, you got big chains like Target and Walmart that provide other services than just a strict toy store like Toys R Us. So that's why they're going to still stay in business. It's, you know, like, I don't really see Walmart. I mean, Walmart's been able to adapt to the online market. Same with Target. I mean, Toys R Us has an online thing too, but, like, it's still the old retail system.
I've never even been on their website. I guess they must have.
You wouldn't think to go on their website to get anything when you could just walk right in the store and find whatever you want or find out whatever they have.
Right.
The thing is, like, with, like, Walmart and Target are going to be around because they offer another service that humankind has needed since day one, and that's called food. And, you know, if Walmart, if anything, like, gets rid of their, like, furniture, appliances, toys, electronics or whatever, they still got their food produce to sell. And depending on how the towns are set up, like, people are still going to go there to get food because, like, if you're low on food, you just go to the grocery store to get whatever you need to get your produce. You don't want to wait in the mail in order to get it in. Like, yeah, you can still do that, but, like, it's easier, it's way quicker to get in your car and to drive 5 minutes to the store or whatever and get what you need instead of waiting, like, two days or whatever. And, the thing is, it's just amazing how Toys R Us, like, how they got to that point on, I guess, how well they've been doing for however long. And, you know, this shows that if they're at that point and, you know, like, you can buy your toys online, you don't really have to go physically to their store, then their days are numbered. Like, I don't know how much restructuring they're going to do before they realize they're just going to give up and close every single store down.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's probably room for Toys R Us in a lot of big cities or something, but, you know, to have as many as they do now, it does seem obsolete because they're such large stores and they probably don't generate much money. You know, probably a lot of them have to go. I don't know if all of them eventually probably.
I mean, the thing is, like, the only reason I still go in Toys R Us or Toys R Us store is just to really browse and see, like, what's there. And honestly, the last time I was in Toys R Us, I picked up a Dragon Ball Z Scouter that's licensed by Funimation. Because I got, like,
They've always been good at having a lot of Dragon Ball Z toys compared to other stores.
Yeah, that's true. Like, you're gonna get more of a selection at Toys R Us than Walmart if you want to go and grab something real quick instead of having to wait for it, in the mail.
Yeah. And there were a lot of Dragon Ball Z toys that were only released at Toys R Us from, like, kind of the late GT toys, I think, from Jack Specific towards, like, some of the Bandai toys after Jax lost the license. And
yeah,
I think that a lot of those were hard to find, and they're worth a lot now because they're only available in Toys R Us.
Yeah, there's
and,
also,
and,
I mean...
But then not many people are going to Toys R Us by the late 2000s and early 2000s.
I mean, also the fact that Toys R Us have some sort of... they have exclusives there, too. Like, yeah. They used to sell the McFarlane toys, especially for, like, Metal Gear Solid properties. And then also, they've had the... the Square Enix Final Fantasy Play Arts figures, because I remember I bought a Final Fantasy figure a couple years ago, or a few years ago, and I wound up selling it because I didn't want to have it, but, like, that was something that was sold exclusively at Toys R Us.
Yeah, they do have exclusives that they've released over the years. I guess they're probably not going to be doing much of that anymore, though. If
they're going to restructure.
The process of winding down.
I mean, what was it? Like, I was there a few months ago, and they had, like, Power Rangers toys, but they had some sort of, like, a toy that looked like it was an import of, like, a Megazord. That you're not going to go to a Walmart and pick it up.
Yeah. I guess Power Rangers, they're kind of hoping that that movie would be bigger than it was, probably, for toy sales. Because Power Rangers generally does sell pretty well still, even though I think the show doesn't do that well in ratings, but I think it's just kept alive by toy sales, and if Toys R Us goes under, that's kind of like the big place for those Power Rangers toys, and I guess Transformers too, really.
Transformers is another big one too, but...
Robots in Disguise is ending in a couple months, and then there's, I think they're gonna make a new show, but if like they can't get the toys out in toy stores anymore, like, that show will probably not last long, you know, like maybe that franchise will kind of die off if like the later movies suck. I mean, I haven't seen the new one, but like, they pretty much all suck, but they seem like they suck more each time. And,
yeah, that last one.
If people can't get the toys anymore, then maybe the franchise just dies out.
Yeah, that last Transformers movie was bad.
Yeah, I know 4 was pretty bad, and I didn't really want to see 5 after that. But
yeah, you're not missing much. But I mean, my thing was that, you know, at the height, like when Gundam was getting big in the early 2000s, like Toys R Us had that, like the area that you would go to get Gundam models,
Gundam Wing and that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's where I got like my earliest Gundam models. But that's like when Bandai was pushing that retail because, you know, Gundam was on TV, so then they had, like, you know, a market to, like, oh, we can get this show to kids, and they can go out and buy the toys to it. But there's also, like Cartoon Network exclusive stuff. Like, you know, regular show toys are sold at Toys R Us. I can't think of any other place that they're sold at. Yeah, it's... I mean, I even worked at a Toys R Us at one point. That was, like, my second job out of high school, which is where I met my friend Josh at. Like, I didn't really know about the announcement of the bankruptcy until, I think it was like Thursday afternoon, and my friend was like quoting me on Twitter about how when we worked at Toys R Us, and he brought up a lot of the kind of sales that toys or promos that Toys R Us did when it came to the video games. Like, when we worked there that Christmas, Toys R Us had some big thing where they were, like, knocking, like, $50 games down to, like, $10 for, like, some sort of special or whatever. So, like, Resident Evil 4 came out that was, like, practically brand new, and you can just buy a new copy for $10. And we had this, he brought up this one story where this lady came in there that she had an Amazon store online, so she wound up going in there, spending like a few hundred dollars just buying up like everything that was on sale so she can resell it on Amazon because that was her business. And she had like, I think maybe 2 shopping carts full of video games. It was pretty amazing. Yeah, it was pretty amazing. And then, we had to clear out the back once and we found these PS1 games that had been there for years. And I wound up taking home Legend of Dragoon on PS1, which was a greatest hits game, but that game has later become like a collector's item. And I might have spent like $10 on a brand new copy of that, and I still got it, of course. I remember I haven't played it in like 11 or 12 years actually, because I got it to try it out, and I was like, oh, this is a pretty fun RPG game, and I had to stop playing it for a while, and then like I haven't touched it since then. But that was something that, like, you know, now I could probably resell if it was still sealed for, like, over $100 if I thought about it at the time.
Wow.
Yeah, it was some good retail stories out of Toys R Us. So, yeah, they had some, like, really, like, weird sales that happened. And I remember, like, another thing was somebody later after Christmas, or it might have been either right before or after Christmas, and his dad, like, made my manager give him a $50 game for $10 because the promotion he heard about was misleading. So, like, you know, like, I think it's Nintendo has that, like, greatest hits or whatever. And what we did is we took those greatest hits games on the shelves and labeled them for $20. Well, this guy believed that every game should have been that price and how, like, that ad was misleading, so he should get the game behind the case for that price. And my manager went for it. And I'm like, Bill, are you freaking stupid? Like, that's not what we're supposed to do. It's just the fact that this guy, you know, bitched for it. And I met so many parents, like, that basically, this is probably why their kids grew up to be so entitled, selfish brats. There was also one where, like, this lady was running around the store. I mean, not this lady, but this lady's kid was running around the store having a temper tantrum, was hiding behind her counter. And he, you know, we're just like, you know, like, I'm waiting for this kid to get out of behind my counter because no one else is supposed to be back there, and she's trying to, like, call him out. And then And then she goes and tells me how he has an anger issue and how she needed to buy a new Nintendo DS because he broke his other one by punching it. It's like that kid is like to fix that kid's anger issue isn't going to be fixed by buying him another DS. It's called therapy.
The kid broke the DS. That really takes something.
Yeah, he got so mad he punched the DS, so his mom was at Toys R Us to buy him another one. And I'm like looking at her like, how are you a parent? Like, really?
Yeah.
And now I see the effects of how those little SOBs have grown up to be 10 years later. You know.
Did you ask her what game it was that made him that mad?
No, I didn't. I didn't ask. I just stared and looked at it. I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? Like, did you spank or did you beat your child to respect his property? Instead of just buying him something else?
I doubt it. That's a millennial story, huh?
That is a true millennial story. That explains why we have these little... Anyways, but... Yeah, it was something. You know, I thought about ragging on VQ, but oh well.
Which incident?
The thing that happened a couple of days ago, where he was wanting to call me out, which is what he's been doing the past.
He does like every day lately.
Yeah, I don't even like at this point. I don't even remember what I said or did. Well,
I think the way it went was that I linked to an article that I found on, I was on the Haman Karn Club on my anime list.
Okay.
And there's a link on there, to an article by HG Revolution.
That's it.
And it was about best anime Jews. And that was an article on my anime list from before he got, kicked off of there by the alt-right or whatever happened. here it is. Oy vey, 10 plus Jewish characters in anime.
Wait, how old is this article?
September 4, 2016.
Oh, okay. I thought it was like something recently he wrote.
No, I just linked to it, and I guess you didn't say the date.
I didn't actually bother to click on it. I just saw the title, and then I made a comment about like, you know. That would have done so much better if it was rewritten to be like top 10 Jews for like pro Nazis to kill. Like, I just made an offhanded comment like that.
and I made some comment saying like, "Oh, you're gonna upset Viku by making a comment like that."
Well, the thing is,
because he gets offended by all your.
Thing is, he was just like, "Stop quoting me for everything I say. That's stupid." And, like, I'm not serious on this stuff. I'm just freaking kidding around in the chat because that's what we do. But then I was just like, I don't want to be vehically incorrect or whatever.
Yeah. And then he accused you of being the really politically correct one. Because of the name change back in 2012 or whatever.
Yeah, he's still bitter over us moving to podcast. And then the funny thing was, it's like, yeah, here he is changing the name and thinking he's going to get money from it or something. And I'm like, dude, we did make money from it. We got paid to review. We've gotten donations. We've gotten paid to review Suicide Squad. So, yeah.
And we've gotten sponsorships from Anime Card and Right Stuff. You should buy their products, especially Supergirls.
Especially Supergirls, Supergals. We're doing pretty good. We did better than freaking what Cool Kids Club could ever do. Like, I don't know how.
Nobody
can't imagine.
Buy Cool Kids Club merchandise on Cafe Press.
Yeah, like a thong and a coffee mug. And yeah, I mean, like, but who does he think? Like, is he being dead serious, acting like this? Like, really? Do you not like see
he's
when we
come... always been triggered about that? He quit the podcast over it, and he's come back a few times, but. Yeah, never regularly ever since that incident.
You know, it's like whatever. If he wants to be that,
he wants
butter.
To control it.
But when
like
he controlled
the name
it,
of it and everything,
it was a bad idea. And he's like, "Oh, it was such a joke, and we're going to take it serious." And then you had to take it serious. I'm like, "Yeah, because it's something I want to do." And look where that paved. Look where that led us to having this podcast.
The podcast was unlistenable at first.
Yeah,
there were some really bad episodes. The first ones.
I remember hearing some of those. I just remember there was one where Daff kept kicking VQ off. I think that was
the first one.
Okay.
He kicked everybody off.
Yeah, it's like...
That episode, it like aired, I think a year later, like between the Cool Kids Club and Cybernauts or something. just as like a flashback episode or something, or bonus episode or something.
Oh yeah,
on Toon Radio. But with the first one, I think it officially was like the Cartoon Network Upfront or something, and it was just Daft like reading off all the all the shows and like their summaries and stuff from the Cartoon Network Upfront, and it was like an hour of that, and it's just like totally unlistenable. And I think that was the idea at first, was to just make a really bad, unlistenable thing and see if Toon Radio would air it. And so when they did, then we kind of like, okay, I guess we should like review things or something, because that was pretty awful to just record that.
I know Viku has been on a podcast. I think it was on the Adult Swim HQ podcast that Zach Logan did like a long time ago, and I think Viku was part of that. And I want to say I downloaded that episode, but I have no idea where it might be if I have it downloaded. But like
he says, it's really bad, doesn't he?
From what I understood and listened to it, yes, it was.
Have you listened to the Toon Zone podcast?
I think I tried to listen to it. I don't think I could stand. I think I remember trying 2 minutes of it, and I just couldn't stand it.
Was it like the old one or the new one?
I think it was
like one from 2005 or something.
Yeah, the older ones I couldn't really listen to, but the newer ones, they have it all on Twitch, and you can't turn that into an MP3 or whatever. Like, it's like, you're going to do a podcast on Twitch and you don't even like, you can't even really save these files correctly or convert them to MP3. Oh. Like, that defeats the purpose of a podcast.
Huh.
Yeah, that's what Toon Zone Podcast is doing now. Like, they brought it back, like Harley and whoever. Oh man, I wonder if Light Lucario is part of that.
I was wondering when you'd pick her up. As soon as I mentioned Toon Zone, I'm like, that's going to get mentioned.
Yeah. I just, if they're doing like a live stream thing, I just want to go on there, Ryder. Oh.
I'm sure that she would not be pleased to see you on there.
Well, what is she going to do? Ban me from Toon Zone? Oh, wait. There's nothing she can do except, like, what, they're going to ban me from,
Twitch.
Yeah, ban me from Twitch. Come on. You can ban me from the channel, but not from, like, the entire Twitch website.
I don't know.
Yeah,
they probably won't do anything.
Going by them, yeah, you never know with that.
Harley might even go ahead and make you a moderator. There's all these other band members like Dark Body Aviator and
Ducks on there. Oh boy! Oh, that'd be great. I have to go under. I have to bring back Zeke the Freak, and like, hey, can I get a moderator position on your podcast? I have some experience from other places. And then just cut down Light every chance I get. Like, oh, you want to talk this feminism mindset? Well, let me tell you a meninist mindset. Let me break that down to you.
I find it kind of funny that she's like the only active moderator, it seems like, on Toon Zone now.
Because
whenever a thread gets linked to it, she's like taking action and nobody else does anything.
Yes, it's not just her being active. Like, you know, participating in discussions, or, you know, messaging or being online constantly. It's the fact that she's, like, actively, like, over-caring on what people say. And being the Rand Kutobuki of Toon Zone.
What an insult.
Yeah. That might be our quote for the podcast. Yeah. Light Lucario equals Rand Kutobuki. Put that as our header. Yeah, I linked to something you wrote on February 9, 22, Chris, opinion on some documentary. Oh, Chris finally saw his own documentary?
Yeah, he was talking about how it was like half of it was hell and half of it reminded him of the good days or something like that. And then at the end he said, I am not going to live stream my reaction to this film, because I guess people were asking him to do that and hoping he'd cry or something.
Oh man, he'll probably do a star date on it. That'd be great. Oh. But, man, is there anything else we want to say for closing remarks? I mean, today was kind of a busy day, I guess. There was a shooting at a church in Tennessee. Is there any details on that?
No, I don't think they've announced yet who the culprit was or. Something okay. I think said that he was still alive and that they had captured him.
I mean, They said 8 people got shot, but nobody died. Or did some people?
Right.
Okay.
And I couldn't tell if this was like one of the racist massacres or something, or if this was just some Islamic terrorism against a Christian church, or if it was just some deranged member of the church. I haven't seen anything about motive or identity of the perpetrator, or what kind of church this was, really, even. I saw the name of it, but it didn't really ring any bells, so I'm sure there'll be a lot of information coming out about it, like, later on. But, yeah.
Probably by tomorrow there'll be more about it.
Yeah, I'm sure that, you know, just give it a day or two and there'll be people politicizing it once they know who did what and everything.
Yeah.
The way every tragedy is.
You know, I can't really think of anything else I want to talk about for closing remarks. Unless you had something
else. That's
all
right. No, I think we've covered it.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about everything we could on Supergal. So it's just like an hour 22 recording time. Like, man, we haven't been that short in months.
I guess one last thing to say is that going to Miami Blooded Orphan turns on Toonami soon. So watch that. Don't watch the rest of Tokyo Ghoul, but watch Iron Blooded Orphans, and hopefully if it does better than Tokyo Ghoul was doing in that time slot, they'll get more older Gundams as well.
Yeah.
Or maybe they'll dub Gundam Age or something, or I don't know what else there is that's new that they could hear, really, besides the age.
Does Iron Blooded Orphans air this coming week or next week?
I think it's 2 weeks from now.
Okay. Okay, so as of this recording, it's the last week for Tokyo Ghoul.
Right, the next episode of the air is going to be the last Tokyo Ghoul episode, I think.
Okay. I mean, like, the only thing I've been really keeping up, like, I've dropped Lupin. Like, I can't get into it. And, not to say that it was bad, but my heart's not in it, and if it's not, I'm not going to push myself.
Uh-huh.
I mean, like, I keep up with Super, I keep up with Kai, with JoJo. I mean, really, the shows that I'm really excited to see is, like, Hunter x Hunter and Outlaw Star. Like, I'm kind of interested in how Outlaw Star is going. And so far, it's been going pretty good.
Are you recording Bebop?
I recorded the first episode of Bebop because I want to see what it looks like in HD. And
yeah.
I only got Astro Blues recorded. I just haven't seen it yet because I want to see how it looks like in HD. And that's about it. But like,
yeah, I saw the first two so far. I didn't see the third one yet. But
I mean, but like, it's been like
the first four or five when they aired them a few years ago in HD.
Okay, so, but I mean,
they do look really good.
I still own like my whole Bebop set, and it's been like 10 years since I saw it. So like, I'm good on like when I want to watch Cowboy Bebop again. I mean, I might just wait for the episodes that I want to see in HD. Like Pierrot Le Fou, I probably will definitely watch that again in HD.
Well, for me, it's just like Bebop is a show that's got a lot of rewatch value, and I think Outlaw Star is really almost as good as Bebop. You know, there's sort of a controversy back in the day of between the fans of each show of like which one is better. They're really similar in that they're both like space pirate hunting shows.
The only difference between Bebop and Outlaw Star is that Bebop is there's very few episodes of them tying something to an overarching story. Everything's just pretty much contained in its own episode, so you can kind of start anywhere. Whereas for Outlaw Star, it's a continuous story from point A to point B.
That's true. Outlaw Star that are kind of standalone too, like the Hot Spring episode and stuff like that.
Yeah, but I think there's more standalone for Bebop, which is why I started it, like, you know, like at Pierrot Le Fou, like it was a great first introduction to that show for me.
That's the one that you put on MySplane, right? That's
yeah.
With your Gundam 00-80s?
Yeah, that was my first recording of it the first time I saw it, and I wind up, like, I only had, like, the first part of the action scene, and I added that, with that file so other people can see it, but I wound up recording.
It not the whole episode?
No, I didn't, I guess I got 00-80, recorded over, like, the other part of, Pierrot Le Fou, yeah. Because I thought I had the whole episode for years, and I looked and I was like, oh, I guess I just had the first 6 minutes or whatever. Because I remember watching it, I was like, I have no idea, like, what this show is, but this looks awesome. Because I remember asking my friends about it at school. They're like, oh, that's Cowboy Bebop. I was like, that show looks awesome.
Yeah, the weird thing was they had stuff like, Toonami Midnight Run was on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday nights, and Friday nights. But Thursday night, they had Adult Swim. So you have Cowboy Bebop airing there instead of Toonami. Mm-hmm. And so that's why a lot of people have memories of Toonami airing Cowboy Bebop, because it aired during a time slot that anyone would think was Toonami based on what was airing every other night of the week.
Yeah.
And so you have people like, hey, British Geezer, I think on Toon Zone, was insisting that it had aired on Toonami. You know, like people who grew up watching anime at that point, or, you know, that almost seems like a Toonami show because of that, and also just because of Adult Swim and Toonami have now merged, and it has aired on Toonami.
Yeah.
So now it literally is a Toonami
show. Now everyone has their wish.
Right. And it is, like, I feel like it really does fit on Toonami with, you know, Steve Bloom doing the bumpers and everything.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess that's it for closing remarks. I got nothing else I want to say.
I think we've got it here, an hour and a half or so.
Yeah. Man, I need to get my Animazement review out. I don't know if this is going to come before Animazement or after Animazement.
Oh, yeah, that and Logan.
Yeah. Recordings we did back in May and June.
And Logan, that movie must be almost a year old or something at this point, huh?
Well, no, like, Logan came out last March, so it's...
6 months.
Yeah, it's been 6 months. The review should have came out, like, 4 months ago, but...
Is there some, like, major editing that has to be done on it or something?
I have no idea, because I can't remember what I know I listened to it once to see how it sounded, but I have no idea what we talked about for closing remarks on that. So it'll be fun going back through all that again.
You have
again.
To go through it again and write up the closing remarks.
Yeah, I go through it so I can write up, like, what we discussed in show notes, so then people know what we talked about.
You could be like, this episode has mystery closing remarks. Listen to yourself and find out what they are.
Man, I might as well just put that in there. Just save myself the trouble and just, like, you know, half-crap it. All right, so that's going to be another fun-filled episode of Anime of Yesteryear. Tune in next time for probably a recording that we did 6 months ago that is now coming out, aka Animazement Review. Oh no, my Halo sword that I bought from Walmart fell over. Yeah, did you know they make Halloween, like, I'm freaking 31 years old and I still buy toys, but especially Halloween toys that look like weapons. So they
you
got the.
Toys R Us instead.
Yeah, I should have supported Toys R Us instead of my local Walmart. But anyways, I was at my local Walmart, and they have Master Chief Halloween toys out now. And along with this, they have the sword from Halo, and it was like $12, and I bought it. And it felt like I have it because why the heck not? And it's all like one big plastic piece. It's pretty cool. Yeah, maybe I need a mount. I can probably wall mount this. Why not? Get some thumbtacks. Yeah, I want to, like, I just do this. Like, I find stuff I like, and then I have it because I can. And, like, I did that with toy guns. Like, I'm old enough to own a real firearm and to go through my concealed weapons permit to carry such firearm in public, and I still won't do it. But that's kind of a different thing, because then it's like I really don't want to use a real firearm on someone, because I'd rather try to handle things peacefully than try to shoot them to make peace. But then that'll come into a whole issue depending on what skin color the person you shot. So it's messed up in its own way. But anyways, yeah.
Did your brother have to shoot anybody? I mean, I don't think that would usually happen with that.
No, he hasn't shot anybody yet, and I pray he never does. It's one of those, like, insurance things of, like, it's good to have in case something happens. But you know, if it's a person that's respectable, that's like anytime they, like, someone offends them, they don't whip it out to show, like, how big and bad they are. Those people are assholes. It's just those that are like, hey, I have a firearm, don't mess with me. If you're gonna attack me, you're gonna get shot. It's my last deterrent, it's my last defense. Let's figure out how for you not to assault me, and so you don't have to get to that point where you die. And then I get under media scrutiny on Fox News because I'm a white person with a gun. So, you know, you figure, like, some people want to use common sense and, like, think it through, like, okay, I shouldn't assault people with my knife because the guy I'm about to assault has another weapon that's going to kill me a whole lot quicker than a knife. Or maybe another gun. I don't know. So,
even if they don't know that you don't have one, you know, it's the possibility that it's there is a deterrent in its own way based on the
Constitution. I've always thought of, like, since people are so gun fearing that, like, I think if you, like, reach in your back pocket and pretend you have one, I think you would have a pretty good chance of, like, spooking the other person, because then they're going to take a chance of, like, chances are this guy probably has a gun behind his pocket. I don't want to die. I give up. And
you hear all kinds of stories about cops feeling that way when somebody is reaching for something. And, you know, I think that it's not just cops who are trained to be suspicious of that. You know, like gang members and that sort of thing will also be aware of if somebody's reaching in a certain direction, like what that means and everything.
Yeah, but then again, it's kind of like it's a gamble. I mean, you're taking a gamble there. You kind of want to win that gamble or that bluff. But if you don't, then you're dead. So then it's like,
I mean, either way, you can end up being killed. Yeah. But,
someone is either, two ways it's going to happen. Either someone gives up or one person is going to die. But then you have other situations where there was a church in North Carolina where somebody was about to shoot it up. And the pastor, all he had to do was go up and talk to the guy, and they were able to handle it. The guy, you know, was going through a tough time. Pastor consoled him, and the pastor was like, I'm not pressing any charges. You're welcome to come to our church. You're part of God's kingdom now. I handled the situation perfectly. There's not a whole lot of stories like that, but it is possible for things to happen that way. Instead of people,
it would have been nice if that had happened in Tennessee. But
I know, but we don't know the details. We don't know the whole situation in Tennessee, and you don't get perfect stories like that all the time. It's sad, but right. It's the truth. So, all right. So enough about right wing firearm use and theories behind that. Geez, to make our podcast sound even more right-wing than what we are. So we'll just go ahead and end it. You guys have a wonderful week. Thank you for tuning in. I'm done. I gotta do this.
Six, later. Seven, eight, three, nine.